"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
On the radio now from 1 to 4. We have been all this year. But if you can't listen live, you can always pick up the show on the podcast on demand using the app or go to KFIAM640.com. John Cobalt has some time off. I'm here with Deborah Mark. Are you alive and ready?
I'm alive and ready, Ken. What do you got for me?
Well, we're going to begin with the stuff of your worst nightmares. And I think you can guess what it is. It's the biggest international story we have going. The earthquake in Morocco.
Terrible.
If I'm not mistaken, wasn't it a 6.8 that Northridge got
in
1994, the same magnitude?
Yep.
All right, well, we're going to get a report now. This struck Friday night, Morocco time, in the High Atlas Mountains. Jordana Miller, ABC News for KFI, is in Jerusalem, Israel, with the latest. Jordana, welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show. Thanks. Thanks so much for having me. I'm actually a native of California, and I was in the Northridge earthquake, which was, as you said, a 6.8 quake, and that is the same magnitude that rocked this area just southwest of Marrakesh in Morocco. The epicenter around this they're called the High Atlas Mountains, kind of a beautiful mountainous range there south of Marrakesh. The death toll now has just recently been revised, and it is just under 2,900 people confirmed dead, 2,600 injured, almost half of those in serious condition. And the rescue efforts today at least got a boost from some international team in Morocco, from the United Arab Emirates, from Qatar, from Spain, and the UK. Those are the four countries that King Mohammed VI finally allowed into to give really desperate aid. We're seeing just really heartbreaking images of people in some of these remote villages in the mountains, who, you know, had some of them had to wait 30, 40 hours for help. And, you know, the search and rescue teams are hampered by this the very windy road. Some of them are blocked now with rubble and boulders that came down during the earthquake. So that's going to be a challenge. And remember, these villages are traditional homes, mud brick homes. Many of them, we can see from some of the aerial shots, you know, just crumbled, it seems, in the face of this really strong quake. And it closes the window on how long people can survive because of the material. It becomes dust so much quicker there. It's not like concrete that where there's air pockets. So according to experts, you know, it's even more important to get to these areas as fast as possible.
Yeah, these were not high-rise buildings, but these were a lot of small sort of huts, as you described them, in these remote villages. But I guess if that collapses on you, that can be very serious and very tough to dig out from. How prepared or how common are earthquakes in Morocco?
Well, it's pretty rare. I mean, the last really devastating earthquake was in 1960, I believe. They're not very common and not in this area. So, you know, it's not as if, you know, it's not as if they were prepared for this eventuality. You know, in terms we could talk about, let's say, Los Angeles, which, you know, they've been talking about the big one forever, right?
Right.
So it's, you know, in that sense, it's even more puzzling why officials in Morocco took so long to greenlight and let in aid. When everyone jumped to help, including the United States, including President Biden, you know, why Morocco didn't grab anything and anybody who would come and help try to find survivors and aid the tens of thousands of people who've lost their homes. You know, the main square that leads to, people are sleeping outside there because they're just too afraid to go into their homes.
Yeah, I had read this morning that everybody was waiting for the King of Morocco to say something concerning a relief effort, and that's why there was this, because this happened Friday night. We're already here on Monday, and as you just told us, there is finally aid coming in from other countries, but they were waiting for the King to make a move as to whether or not they were going to accept this kind of help and helping people dig out in this region.
Right. Also shocking, I think, that the King hasn't come out to at least console the nation. You know, I don't really understand it. But I think it's also perhaps partly because we're American and we're used to our government talking to us and we're used to being able to ask questions and ask for, you know, some kind of accountability. And, you know, that certainly is not the case in Morocco, and not to the extent that we have those that kind of political culture. So we're going to have to wait and see. The interior minister has defended the kind of delay that the critics call it in the aid coming in, saying they didn't want to overload the roads and they thought there might, you know, it might complicate the situation. There would be might be a lack of cooperation between different teams, et cetera, et cetera. Israel did offer Morocco help as well. And Israel's search and rescue teams are known around the world, as well as their field hospitals that they can build in a flash with really cutting edge, instruments and bring a team of the best doctors. But Israel only signed a real peace treaty or normalized ties with Morocco 3 years ago. So perhaps for that, it might be a little too sensitive. But of course, the United States, you know, also offered a lot of help. So I think those are questions that and criticisms that will probably dog the King of Morocco.
How did Dawit Marrakesh fare? That's the big city that was nearby. I was actually there a few years ago. And, of course, there's a lot of history in Marrakesh. How did the buildings hold up there? Do you know?
Yeah, we do know. I also was in Marrakesh a few years ago. And some of the older structures in Marrakesh's old part of the city, right near here in the Middle East, we call it like a shuk, an open market. If you remember, in those windy little streets, and those are very old traditional buildings. A lot of those crumbled, blocking now some of those pathways. There was an old 12th century mosque, the Tin Mill Mosque, which was also damaged. And even parts of the very old Jewish community of Marrakesh, some synagogues were damaged as well. The Jewish community, you know, has basically, there's only a few hundred Jews that still live in Marrakesh. But there were a lot of Israelis that were there, actually. And here in Israel, they've been on, you know, every newscast talking about the veracity, you know, how absolutely frightening it was to be in an earthquake that powerful, that lasted, you know, according to accounts, you know, up to 20 seconds, which is long for an earthquake. We know as Los Angelinos, that's long.
That is very long. I just get a few second jolt, and for me, that's enough. But I can imagine 20 seconds. That's crazy. Well, Jordana, thank you very much for that update. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, that's Jordana Miller, ABC News for KFI. She's posted in Jerusalem in Israel, so she's a lot closer to this 6.8 magnitude earthquake that hit Morocco Friday night in the High Atlas Mountains. I did go to the High Atlas Mountains when I was in Morocco on a trip. We started in Marrakesh and went out there. I mean, you talk about desert, but that's, Deborah, where I got on the camel.
That's where you got on the camel.
Yeah, it was my little tour of Morocco, and they put us on a camel.
I think you sent me a picture of you on the
camel. Yeah, they dressed us in the traditional garb.
Very cute.
A Westerner appropriating the local customs and outfits. Terrible. All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
John has some time off. I'm here with Deborah Mark. The other big thing that's going on today, obviously, if you paid any attention to the news, it's the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks of 2001. 22 years. And Joe Biden's in Alaska, which is a bit puzzling. But of course, he made a trip all the way to India for the G20 summit. And he stopped off in Vietnam, and he's back in Alaska on his way back to the United States. But have no fear. At ground zero for 9/11 was Kamala Harris, the vice president. Doesn't that make us all feel better? Deborah Mark, were you on the air in 2001? Or?
You know what? I was not on the air for a short amount of time, and that was part of that time. But I remember that morning like it was yesterday.
You were not doing the news then on the air, is that?
No, I was not.
Were not up in that little town of Northern California.
No, I was in LA, and I had a 1-year-old daughter, and I remember I was going to take her to a play date. And as soon as I saw what was happening, I remember calling my friend and saying, no.
Yeah, everybody froze.
Just cancel. I gotta watch all this coverage. Just crazy.
Yeah, I know. That was actually your chance to say that you were only 16 when this happened. And therefore,
you
weren't in radio. Yes.
I had a 1-year-old.
Well, you had a 1-year-old daughter. Okay, that's hedging your way in. You could have been a very young mother.
And yes.
That works for you.
I was in second grade.
Yeah. What does a second grader make of that, Eric?
Well, my parents explained it all to me when I got home from school that day. They sent me to school. My sister stayed back because she was in preschool, and it was at a temple, and my parents didn't want her going to school that day. And yeah, my parents just sat down and explained it to me, and we just watched the news when I got home from school that day the rest of the night.
Do you think they explained it objectively as you look back, or do you think that they were just, you know, those damn terrorists, kill them all.
No, they
let's get bin Laden now, hang them. No, they didn't go that far.
Right? No, they didn't go that far. But I mean, they were pretty much, I think a lot of people just didn't know what happened. So they kind of were just like, some planes crashed into a building and we're going to figure out what happened.
Yeah, it was puzzling. I mean, for people who are too young to remember, you know, what's weird about this little interchange we just had? I was just doing the John and Ken show like I've been doing for far too long. Huh? Doesn't that tell you something?
Oh,
Deborah Mark just had a baby. Eric Sklar was in second grade.
So
but I'm
crazy.
Doing the John and Ken show as I've been doing for the past 100 years. Of course, we were not on the air because that was in the morning. But the thing I remember is that my phone would not stop ringing. And of course, I had the old voicemail back then, and I kept letting it go to voicemail because it's 5:30, I think. Was it 7:30? It was very early. And the reason I was being called, it was John, because our program director at the time wanted to put us on a plane to New York to cover the attacks. And of course, it didn't take long to realize that there was a ground stop. There were no flights. Right. Nobody was going to New York unless you got in a damn car. And I wasn't going to do that. Take 3 days to get there. So, I said, well, something's up. Nobody calls me at this time of the morning this many times because I just wouldn't answer the phone. I was lying there in bed saying, what could this be? So then I listened to a voicemail and then I turned on the TV. And this was after the second plane struck because that's when everybody knew this was hell, right? The first plane people thought it could be some sort of strange accident.
Right.
But when the second plane hit the other tower, that was it. Everybody knew the United States is under attack. And then we got word that there were several other. And I remember it was kind of crazy because I went to my newsstand. I talked to women there, the woman that runs a newsstand, and people. And the number of planes that could have been seized was exaggerated by people. I don't know if you guys had that experience, but they're trying to account for them all. And how many planes could there be? You know, and then we found out later in the day, well, there were several in the Pentagon. And then, of course, the one that went down the field in Pennsylvania. But that was a wild time. And you know, I kind of tuned out for a while. I was too tense. I stopped watching the coverage because I went for a run. I needed to just kind of get my mind focused and try to figure out, you know, because that was really, really wild. But Joe is not at ground zero today. Instead, as I said, he's in Alaska. Before that, he stopped in Vietnam. And it's interesting to look at the coverage from competing sources. The El Segundo Times used Associated Press with a mostly positive report on Biden when he landed in Vietnam and he held a short news conference with the leader of the Communist Party there, who actually complimented Biden on how great he looks. They hadn't seen each other in a number of years, and you have nary aged a day, and I would say you look even better than before, the Communist Party leader said to Biden. Whereas other media covered it, well, this way, Biden needed a nap. And of course, he's been on the road a long time since he went to India for the G20 summit. So we'll start with the first clip where it had some reporters scratching their heads. This is the beginning of Biden's remarks in Vietnam.
It is evening, isn't it? This round the world in 5 days is interesting, isn't it? Well, you know, there's that one of my staff members said, remember the famous song, you know, Good Morning Vietnam? Well, good evening Vietnam. Good morning back in America.
Doesn't he sound a little weak? I mean, he's an 80-year-old guy who's just been traveling all around the world and he's put in front of the cameras to make a speech after he arrives in Vietnam and he sounds a little lost and a little strange. We're going to play this clip next. And if you recall, he's done this story before. Apparently, the question deals with the G20 summit and what they're going to do. Yeah, groan about climate change. And this is what happened.
I think the other thing is dawning on people. Many of you are foreign policy experts who have been engaged for a long time. Did you ever think you'd be sitting at a G20 conference where everyone was preoccupied with the notion of global warming? Not a joke. Did you ever think that?
It sounds exasperated by it.
My brother loves having there's famous lines from movies that he always quotes. You know, and one of them is there's a movie about John Wayne. He's an Indian scout. They're trying to get one of the great tribes of America back on the reservation. And he's standing with the Union, so they're all on. They're on their horses and their saddles, and there's three or four Indians in headdresses, and the Union soldiers. And the Union soldiers basically saying, "The Indians, come with me. We'll take care of you. Everything will be good." And the Indian scout, the Indian looks at John Wayne and points to the Union soldier and says, "He's a lion, dog-faced pony soldier." Well, there's a lot of lion, dog-faced pony soldiers out there about global warming, but not anymore. All of a sudden, they all realize it's a problem. And there's nothing like seeing the light.
Stuck the whisper in there, but honestly, they should not let him have done this event. I have time later on in the show, I'll play you the clip where they pull him off the stage and end the news conference because he was far too weak. He's rambling, and he goes back to the dog-faced pony soldier story from a John Wayne movie. Good God. How many people in the world would even be aware? John Wayne died in 1979. He died in 1979. All right. More coming up on the John and Ken Show. We'll be talking to Carl DeMaio, something you got to know that's going on in Sacramento, a bill that would gut Proposition 13. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere, and we've got on the iHeartRadio app.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
Podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
John has got some time off. Well, this week, the hacks in Sacramento are finishing up their crap because they're going to adjourn for a while after Friday's session. So they're jamming through all the bills that they can, having quick hearings. We covered a lot in the last couple of weeks about the bill that would hold sex traffickers responsible for serious felonies, which could result in a lot more punishment. That bill's expected to be voted on by the end of the week after it finally got through committees. We're looking at several others, but the one we're going to talk about right now is known as ACA 13, and it's probably called ACA 13 for a reason. It's got to do with Proposition 13. This is another dangerous one. We learned that it just passed a committee of the state Senate and will now go to the state Senate floor for a full vote, certainly by Friday. And we'll find out what's in it that's ugly and dangerous concerning Prop 13 from Carl DeMaio, Reform California, and of course, a talk show host in San Diego. Carl, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
All right. So I see you put out a real alert for people to hop on this. Tell our listeners, what's the dangers of this ACA 13?
Yeah, ACA 13 is a constitutional amendment that would gut Proposition 13 from 1978. One of the hallmark elements of Prop 13 is that we intentionally wanted to make it harder for politicians to pass tax increases. It's never been good to have people who aren't subject to a tax imposing a tax on someone else, and that's why we have the two-thirds vote requirement for a lot of tax increases, so that we only raise taxes when absolutely necessary. Prop 13 has been a godsend to a lot of folks who would otherwise be out of their home if their property taxes were increased beyond the level they can afford. So ACA 13 would gut that two-thirds vote protection. It's all part of the legislature's efforts to try to stop the coalition of tax reformers from the initiative that we've qualified for the 2024 ballot that would protect Prop 13 and restore the two-thirds vote requirement, and would also improve the definition of fees so that the politicians can't call something a fee when in fact it is a tax. And so what they're doing is they're making it easier to raise taxes. That's the mission that they're on, and we have to stop them. That's why we've got this alert. We have until Thursday at midnight to get as many people to call these state senators and light up their phones and make them feel the heat. We have a list of 10 state senators on our website at reformcalifornia.org, reformcalifornia.org, and it is the top news story that we have there. And we're urging people, call these state senators. We give you their phone number and, you know, tell them vote no on ACA 13. Stop trying to undermine Prop 13. We need, if anything, lower taxes, not higher taxes.
Yeah. You know, all of this gets confusing, Carl, because, you know, ACA 13, they would vote to put it before the voters. Am I right?
They're putting it before the voters, but you know darn well that they're going to describe it as the kitten and puppy protection initiative. They will
That's
never
right.
be honest. That's the other reason why we're really pushing hard to strengthen Prop 13 with our California Taxpayer Protection Initiative. Part of what that initiative also does, in addition to restoring the two-thirds vote, protecting the definition of what a tax is versus a fee, it requires that any time a tax increase is put on the ballot, that it has to contain the words tax increase in the title.
Right.
And that is a game changer for us. And so these politicians, I can't describe them any better. They're liars, cheats, and thieves. So the whole lot of them are trying to manipulate and trying to deceive voters at every turn, and they don't want the voters to have a Prop 13 in the state of California. So this is the most significant threat to Prop 13 that we've seen since 1978. We need people to make those phone calls before, frankly, that, you know what, they could bring the bill up tonight. So I would say make your damn phone calls right now. Call them now. Let them, you know, feel the heat. We have a list of those senators online at reformcalifornia.org. It's our top news story on California Democrats' attempt to gut Prop 13.
You think that these 10 might be more agreeable to listen to people? Is that why you picked them? Or
yes, we picked the 10 because these might be more agreeable, although two of the 10 voted today to advance Prop the ACA 13. But hey, the more pressure, the better. So we have 10 that we're targeting. We only need 6 of them to either vote present or not vote at all or vote no, because the tax raisers need a two-thirds vote. And if we can deprive them of that two-thirds vote. And by the way, let me just point out, the bill ACA 13 passed the assembly by one vote last week. So when people say, oh, the Republicans have a super minority, a mega minority, it doesn't matter. You know what? One single vote would have stopped this whole tax raising scheme last week. So we do have an opportunity to stop it in the state Senate if we get these calls made as soon as possible. And let me also point out that we are going to use these votes against these legislators in Democrat races where, you know, they don't care about Republican challengers because they say, well, look, this is California. Republicans aren't competitive. I can vote any way I want, even if my constituents don't like it. Well, today we announced that we're targeting one of the assembly members who voted for ACA 13 last week. He's in a Democrat race in the city of San Diego for city attorney. Mm-hmm. And he's basically going to be punished by our voting guide. We're going to tell people to strategically vote for the other Democrat against him so we can end his political career over this vote. And so I'm putting these Democrats on notice. You may think that, oh, I'm safe because I'm a Democrat. Well, guess what? You may be in a Democrat race someday, and this vote, we've pledged that this vote will come back to haunt you.
Is it possible that we might see ACA 13 and the California Taxpayer Protection Act both on the ballot at the same time? Could that happen? Or
No. They're trying to beat us to the punch by putting ACA 13 on in March with a misleading ballot title. That would then make it almost impossible for us to pass our initiative in November. What's interesting is they have ACA 1 that they just passed that would lower the threshold on property taxes from 2/3 down to 55% for a special tax.
Yeah, with that one
for any infrastructure.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, you know, these guys lie out of both sides of their mouth. You know, at one level, they're like, oh, you know, we want, you know, if a reform is going to set a change in the Constitution using, you know, voting, you know, changing a vote threshold, then it should pass by the same amount. Well, they're not subjecting ACA 1 to a 2/3 vote. They want to put our measure up for a 2/3 vote. And they want to give us a bad ballot title. Even with a bad ballot title, it's going to be tough, but we can get a majority. 2/3, that would be difficult, very difficult. And they know that. This is nothing more than a scam. This is a scam the Democrats are playing, the Sacramento politicians are playing. And, you know, the most of the media outlets are just shrugging their shoulders and ignoring it. But this is going to lead to higher taxes if we let it go through.
All right, Carl, thank you very much for giving my listeners the update. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Complicated stuff, but I think we broke it down for them.
All right. Carl DiMaio, chairman of Reform California. Thanks for coming on. Go to reformcalifornia.org. That's reformcalifornia.org for more on this. If you want to contact these 10 senators to try to block this ACA 13, which, yeah, it's important because it would gut Prop 13 on the 2/3 vote on taxes. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Coming up after 2 o'clock, the Center for Immigration Studies, they know a lot about what's really going on with the border and immigration, both legal and illegal, into the United States. Senior fellow Todd Bensman will join us. We mentioned him on Friday because he's got quite a story on what's going on with the smugglers and their sophisticated infrastructure, the cartels, to bring people into the country. Although I think my first question for him would be, it seems pretty easy to get into the country without being smuggled in. But, you know, this way you don't have to go through the asylum procedure and the app and all that. Anyway, Todd's got good details coming up after the news at 2 o'clock. Well, we got a Deborah Marks story, and I'm shaking my head at the update. I really can't believe this. There'll be a hearing in Irvine today, I guess, maybe this afternoon, to determine if a pit bull puppy who ingested fentanyl will be returned to the owners.
Oh, come on. No, that's a big no.
You would think not. This happened a few days ago. Irvine police went to a parking lot of a Walmart where all good things happen. There was a couple there that were arrested for drug possession. Somebody must have called it in. I don't know. But they noticed, and there's a picture of the little pit bull puppy. I'm not a big pit bull fan, but this thing is cute. You can tell by the size of its paws already how big it's going to be. Anyway, it was acting strangely. So the police officers decided that, believe it or not, Deborah, they administered Narcan to the dog.
Isn't that crazy? And the dog survived. I mean, this
is a female, right?
A little baby.
Right. She began recovering. They brought her to a vet for treatment. The department is asking the district attorney, this is the animal department, to file charges against the couple for felony animal cruelty and possession of narcotics. In the meantime, the dog is being held as evidence, and there's going to be a hearing to determine if she should be returned to her original owners. I'm wondering, are they making a plea to get the dog back they let it eat fentanyl?
I'm sure they want the dog back, but they don't deserve the dog back.
They don't, I know. I thought I saw a story, let me see if this is the right one, where there was something like this may have happened before. An 8-week-old dog. And, they were transporting the two of them to a police station for booking, and they noticed the dog, something wasn't right. So they realized, this dog may have ingested fentanyl, and they gave it the Narcan.
And the dog, wasn't the dog just sitting in a parking lot in a car in the Walmart?
Yeah, it was hanging out with them.
Yeah.
Right.
So, what are you doing? I'm assuming that they left the dog, and that's how the dog got the fentanyl. The dog was alone in the car in the parking lot. I mean, I'm making an assumption here.
Who knows if they didn't give the dog fentanyl? Thought it might be funny to share with the dog some of their joys of drug taking. I don't know. Caleb Aaron Gibson, 29, from San Juan Capistrano, and Catherine Mary Lou Menke, 27, from Santa Ana. These aren't teenagers, by the way. Those are the two that apparently had the eight-week-old dog that was freaking out from a fentanyl overdose. I don't know what the dog, I don't know what a dog acts like when it's, I mean, your dog ingested a gummy, right?
Yeah, my dog ingested some kind of pot. And let me tell you, it was scary. I truly thought that my dog was dying. I thought my dog was having a seizure. It was.
What were the symptoms? It was
so this, she, first of all, she was just staring at me and then collapsed. And so then I picked her up and I brought her outside and I thought, well, maybe she just goes, I don't know. All kinds of crazy thoughts. Then she peed all over the place because she lost control and she just was staring and then just could not, she couldn't stand on, she couldn't put any weight on her legs. And then her front paws started flapping up and down when I was holding her. I truly thought that she was having a stroke. It was so scary. And that was just pot, according to the vet.
Right. So she didn't get Narcan.
She did not get Narcan, and fentanyl is a lot more dangerous.
Oh, my
right?
God. Fentanyl's a lot more
right.
dangerous.
Good so thing can you
dog's
imagine?
Alive.
Oh, I know.
A small dog ingesting any kind of fentanyl. I mean, what do we hear over and over again? Even a very small amount could kill you, and it's just a little puppy.
It's a puppy, so. 8 weeks old.
Well, I think you should start a protest if this couple gets this dog back. I think that's a good mission for you.
Oh, I think we should go find out where that couple lives, Ken. We should do a John and Ken remote.
With the bullhorn out front?
Yes. Let's do that.
They're druggies, though. Be careful that they don't have weapons or something worse than
that's
that.
That's true.
All right. Coming up next, we return to the border. It doesn't get enough attention these days because, quote, according to a lot of the media, everything's calm there. There's still a lot of migrants coming into the United States. And wow, the cartels have quite a system worked out to get the money from the families who are trying to get across the border. There's still big smuggling operations. Todd Benzman will be my guest next. Johnny Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. And Deborah Mark is in the KFI 24-hour newsroom. Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network,
available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.